You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. When the coronavirus pandemic hit and left thousands of Americans out of work all across our country, one question kept popping up. What about rent? How can tenants pay for their housing when they're out of work, especially when some of the hardest hit industries are low-wage jobs? Well, we wanted to hear from you about what you've been facing during coronavirus. We heard from several mom-and-pop landlords who have been able to be flexible with their tenants. We also heard from dozens of other tenants whose landlords, particularly corporate landlords, have been less forgiving. One of those tenants is Ann Snellgrove. She's a student, and she is facing a landlord situation where she is expected to pay rent on time and in full since the very beginning of this crisis, in spite of people like Ann being out of work. She has had to dip into her entire savings to make rent the past couple of months. Here's what Ann told us.
I think it's just frustrating kind of being under this big rental company because you're just one person. I've been paying my rent every month just because I'm scared. I don't really need to deal with legal stuff right now in the middle of a global pandemic.
And because of what Ann said and what other listeners told us, we wanted to take some time today to talk with Idaho experts in landlord rental law and housing security, especially as it all relates to renting during coronavirus. Joining us live today is Ali Robbie, the executive director of Jesse Tree, and Allison Brace, legal coordinator at the Intermountain Fair Housing Council, as well as a professor in the Landlord-Tenant Fair Housing Clinic at Concordia Law School in Boise. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me as well.
So Allison, I want to start with you. Ann mentioned that she has been doing everything she can to make rent because, you know, she said, and I'm quoting, "I'm scared about the legal action that could be taken against her if she were to not pay her rent." Can you talk about, this fear, but also that uncertainty that so many tenants are feeling right now?
I would agree that the threat of a legal action is something that is common to a lot of tenants. If a tenant doesn't pay their rent, they can get into an expedited legal eviction that moves fairly quickly and have a hearing within a couple of weeks of the filing of the complaint. So it is something that is a big threat to a lot of tenants.
So Ali, you know, Ann seems to be making rent. She said, she started working a little bit again, but so many people in her situation, they either just don't have the savings that Ann had, or they're just not able to piece it together to make rent. So can you talk about what your organization, Jesse Tree, does if someone is in that situation and they need help?
Yeah, so Jesse Tree operates a housing crisis line, which provides support, information, and referrals out to folks who are in need of rental assistance. We also have a rental assistance program, and we connect a lot of the people that call with supportive services from social workers and financial aid. And social workers work really closely with landlords throughout the process. We create a payment plan. We mediate conversations between the two parties. We help tenants come up with a budget. And then we determine how much rent Jesse Tree can pay to keep them in their home.
You know, Allison, we were talking earlier in the introduction about how a lot of mom and pop landlords reached out to us saying, like, look, we've been flexible with our tenants. And when we say mom and pop, and when we talk more about, you know, maybe folks that own one rental property, you know, maybe they own like a small apartment complex, it seems just in the information that we were getting that corporate landlords have been a bit less forgiving. So, could you start by talking about what a corporate landlord would really look like, and then maybe why we're seeing not as much forgiveness with that?
Sure. When I think of a corporate landlord here in the Treasure Valley, particularly because that's my area of practice, I'm thinking of maybe the top three rental properties, property companies in the Treasure Valley, and they have on average 1,000 to 1,500 rentals available. So if you're comparing that to a mom and pop, like you said, somebody who maybe has one other home that they're renting out as an investment property, or they have two properties, somebody with two properties versus somebody with 1,500 properties looks very different. And I think a corporate landlord maybe is more concerned that if they give an exception to one person, they have to give an exception to everyone. And if you're looking at that impact across 1,500 properties, that's a different impact than across maybe one or two.
So, Allie, I mean, there is obviously a power dynamic in place between a tenant and a landlord. But can you talk about why that relationship is so tricky, and what approaches maybe that you've seen to really creating a better relationship between a landlord and a tenant? I mean, maybe that would make a difference.
Sure. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have more trouble, Allison and I, both with those corporate landlords, because they don't have that relationship with their tenants and they aren't able to have that face-to-face conversation to talk through the situation. And they do have policies and procedures that they need to follow to meet the bottom line. But we found that, you know, when we do mediation between tenants and landlords, just having that conversation and creating a really positive communication stream between the two parties, the landlord, after that conversation, may be willing to give the tenant more time. You know, they may be willing to come up with a payment plan that gives them a little bit more flexibility. They'll waive late fees or other fees for the tenants. It's just being able to have that conversation and just also have a relationship between a landlord and a tenant is so powerful and really can help both parties avoid the contentious situation that can happen in eviction court.
One part that we didn't play of Anne's audio was that she mentioned that her landlords actually reminded the tenants of the importance of budgeting. I'm curious from either one of you, if you could talk about why budgeting is such a big ask for a lot of working class people. And frankly, that just goes into such privilege. I think when you say something to a tenant about, you know, you need to learn to budget your money.
Right. Yeah. Folks in poverty already know they're in poverty, right? They kind of know what's coming in and what's going out, and they're already pinching pennies, shopping at Dollar Tree and discount stores so that they can make ends meet every month. We do a budgeting process with tenants when we go through there and try to create a payment plan with them. And sometimes we're able to cut expenses or make suggestions, but oftentimes there's nowhere to cut funding. It's just, you know, we've got to increase your income because, you know, low wage workers are barely making ends meet every month in this community.
And Allie, is that a stereotype that we still see about people who live in poverty? I mean, that it's like, well, look, if they just knew how to budget their money.
Right. I definitely think that is a common stereotype. And it, as a director of a nonprofit, honestly, it's something that I often have to overcome because a lot of our funders want us to do more of that with tenants, but they want us to provide that more. But, you know, really, we need to focus on helping them increase their income and then get on a better financial in a better financial situation going forward.
And Allison, we should mention that you know, eviction court is still happening. It's happening virtually right now. But can you talk about maybe some of the confusion that comes with that?
Absolutely. It's one of the main issues that I have seen in my work, both at Intermountain Fair Housing Council, as well as Concordia Housing Clinic. The summons that informs a tenant that they are being sued tells them they must appear in person at the courthouse. But if they show up at the courthouse, they're often turned away because the court, as you said, is not doing things in person. They're doing it via Zoom or via conference calls. But the tenants often don't have access either to the technology that is necessary for that, or the court doesn't have their information to reach out and touch base with them. So the property manager often files the complaint. The name of their attorney and the name of the property manager will go on the complaint. The court has easy access to that. but the court often doesn't receive contact information for the tenant. So the tenant often doesn't know how to appear. They're told to appear in person, but that isn't working either. And they don't know who to contact to make sure that they are included in the hearing remotely.
You know, and we should note that right now, at least in the 4th District in Ada County, Expo Idaho has been to open up for people who need to, quote, appear in person and maybe have connectivity issues. However, that goes back to your point, Allison, that a lot that that's probably not in the notice that people are getting about appearing in person.
Correct.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Allie Robbie of Jesse Tree and Allison Brace of the Intermountain Fair Housing Council, as well as the Concordia Law School, talking about renting and rent issues during the pandemic. You know, something that a lot of cities and states have enacted is an eviction moratorium right now. Allie, can you talk about what this means? And are you in favor of something like that in Idaho?
Yeah, so in Idaho, we had a eviction hearing moratorium for a few weeks, but there was no moratorium on filings. Some states have put a moratorium on filings entirely specifically for evictions related to COVID economic shutdowns. And Idaho has not done that yet. A lot of groups have been advocating for it, and the governor's office and the state Supreme Court have not put that in place.
So, Allison, I'm curious, though, what are some of the issues, if there was an eviction moratorium in place, and maybe what problems it wouldn't solve? Because what I would think is if you are one of those mom and pop landlords, if there is a, you know, just a wide reaching, you know, an eviction moratorium in place, you know, if you're having to still pay the mortgage on that rental property that you own, that could potentially put the landlord in financial straits.
And that is correct. What I would prefer to see is something that addresses the issue more in a broader sense and spreads that impact away from either the tenant or the property manager, the landlord. As you say, if a landlord has a mortgage on their home and the tenant doesn't pay them, they're unable to pay their mortgage, that house might get foreclosed. And going back to the idea of the tenant and the reminder to budget, one of the issues that we face in Idaho is a lack of affordable housing in general. So even if an individual is budgeting appropriately, they're only supposed to spend approximately 30% of their income on housing. And that's just not feasible in this market in the Treasure Valley. A lot of people are spending a lot of their income on their rent. So if we lose rental stock, so to speak, because the tenant didn't pay the rent, the landlord was foreclosed on. And now that is no longer a home that's available in the housing stock. So I think that is a danger in an eviction moratorium. I think it would also cause a spike in evictions, and we would see a lot more evictions once the moratorium was lifted. And I'm not sure deferring the problem is an appropriate solution.
So before I let both of you go, I would just like both of you to give best, you know, one nugget, best piece of advice for folks who may be struggling right now with a situation like this. And Allie, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I think what we tell any tenants is just try to communicate with your landlord as much as possible and explain your situation, run through your budget, tell them that you have a plan going forward, explain what that is, and ask if they're willing to set up a payment plan with you, which essentially allows you to pay rent over an extended period of time. And then finally, don't be afraid to ask for help. You can call Jesse Tree's Housing Crisis Line. Can also ask for help from neighbors, friends, family, their Facebook groups, mutual aid. Reach out for help.
And Allison, I'll end with you.
I would concur with Allie. Be proactive. Reach out for help. That means communicating with your housing provider, as well as the various resources that there are in town. The Concordia Housing Clinic, Idaho Legal Aid, United Way, I think, is also providing some rental assistance. And be proactive as well with the courts. If a tenant does receive any kind of court paperwork, contact the court trial administrator and make sure they know how to reach you, that they have your contact information so that you're not left out of the process.
I want to thank both of you for your insight, for your expertise in this. We've been talking with Ali Robbie of Jesse Tree and Alice Embrace of the Intermountain Fair Housing Council and the Concordia Law School Landlord-Tenant Housing Clinic about renting during coronavirus. You're listening to Idaho Matters.